Good to go.
All right, we'll call this meeting to order. At 2:37. Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all. Beautiful. Thank you all for joining. Val's connecting now. Do we have any public comments regarding this? Probably not, because it's an emergency meeting. Okay. We'll go on to new business. Jeff, you can unmute and we'll throw it over to Jeff regarding the contractor selection for the Building 27 renovation.
Thanks, Ken. Good afternoon, everyone. Appreciate everyone's flexibility and understanding as we are moving at a speed to try to keep up with the need for having a building, or at least partial of a building, open by next school year. So, first, I'd like to thank everyone that participated in the subcommittee to interview and review the proposals and bids from general contractors. There were four qualified bids that we received on March 28th. And we moved forward with three contractors to interview yesterday, or on
Wednesday.
April 2nd. And that subcommittee included Bridget Davis, OCS Board Director, Elias Pappas, OCS Executive Director, myself, Dino Harlambidis, the OCS IT Manager, Kevin Quinn, our contracted capital project owners rep, Jamie Liberatore, an OCS parent with some nonprofit capital project experience, and Michael Roosthouse, another OCS parent with general contracting instruction background. And so, with the three qualified bids, we got some more information regarding where everyone saw this project for us as a school, both understanding what our needs are, what our restraints are, the timeline required, and we generally felt like all three that we interviewed, and even the fourth that we didn't due to price, were solid contractors. And in fact, two of the three have worked with the school previously, so we had some history with both pros and cons that come with that. So, after deliberation and scoring that was specified in the RFP, we're recommending moving forward with awarding the project to Construction Services Inc. And approve moving forward with the contracting process with them. While they were not the lowest bidder, the interview process indicated that the lowest bidder may not have fully addressed all the timeline, and we have identified Construction Services as being having a strong understanding of the project timeline, proactively identifying potential issues with solution-oriented approaches, and having an already established positive working relationship with key subcontractors on the project. So the goal here is to proceed with awarding a project and enter exclusive contract negotiations with Construction Services, allowing the contractor to begin ordering and mobilizing as soon as possible. We'll work with finalizing the contract while simultaneously confirming compliance with our investors' EFF. Again, I appreciate everyone involved in the process. We have gone through sort of a stakeholder smorgasbord of people to provide input and give different insights, and I think we're pretty happy and proud of where we are at this time, knowing that as we move forward, that we'll only get more identified pricing as the second floor design gets finalized later this month, and as we continue to move with solution-oriented options with the HVAC packages, that is the most cost prohibitive item in the project. But we have people that are interested in our best interests, of the school's best interests, and in trying to minimize sort of that deal for us. So, if anyone has any questions regarding the process or the experience or anything like that, Bridget or I or Evan are here to answer those. But other than that, we're hoping the board would consider moving forward that request.
Is the company you're recommending, are they an OCS family? I think I heard somewhere.
I don't. The managing partner is not, but I think maybe the superintendent may have a student at the school.
Okay.
It was ironic as I believe the sprinkler subcontractor may have a student at the school, and the electrician, I think, has a student at the school. When you're at 2,300 students, it's kind of hard to not be involved somewhere in the community. But, you know, obviously those considerations were not necessarily part of the scoring rubric. It's just kind of nice to know is that there's some inherent interest in the project going as well as possible, but
of course, but it's nice to have somebody who has a more direct interest.
Yeah, I think there's definitely advantages to that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but a majority of the space that's already laid out and the footprints in the room itself are all still flexible enough that should in June, we decide that we want to do something a little differently, maybe this class or that grade or this grade. None of it's going to prevent that, right? Like the classrooms are optimized for the empty space we have to fill.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so the designs for the first floor are permit ready at this point. They're fully construction prior. Yeah, which is based on, you know, what we had presented previously with classrooms and multi-purpose rooms and a cafeteria and things like that. And then the second floor, part of this bid process was just a budget estimate based on, because we don't have those plans completed, but the bidders knew what was going to happen, right? So they were given those and they were inside the building, and all four of them spent hours inside the building kind of seeing what we had, seeing what they would need to do for plumbing, concrete cutting, et cetera. And yeah, so they know the deal is it's classrooms, it's multi-purpose rooms, it's cafeteria, it's housing upwards of 500 to 600 K-5 students. Yeah.
And the only single-use space that can't be changed is cafeteria, which we need anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just there's going to be small flexibility if something has to be rearranged or just modified during the process of finishing the room.
Yeah, I think
that's something that happens all the time, because you start with a black box and then you realize, oh, well.
Right. And I think there's modifications within the permit approved plans that the contractor can make mild adjustments to that will still pass inspection to get a CO.
Okay.
That's our understanding.
And there is just adding up with the third, whoever just is going to start doing the. It was unanimous decision that all of you agreed, any dissent, or so somebody said, oh, I have a reservation. So it was unanimous.
Yeah, it's a good question. The scores reflected a unanimous decision.
Okay.
And I think that was important and kind of made this process a little bit lighter of a lift. Again, I think the way that the scoring was weighted was that 50% of it was both cost and quality control measures, and I think that quality control measure kind of tipped the scales, even though it wasn't quite the low bid. And I think everyone walked away with a good feeling based on the three, that this contractor understands what we need and can deliver, and will do whatever it takes to get it done.
All right, that's good.
So,
Elena.
Yeah.
I have a question, if I may.
Sure.
My question is, with these tariffs right now, are we binding the contractor to fixed costs, to a fixed amount that won't be increased, say, after, you know, 3-4 months? That's my one question. And my second question is, how is the school's portfolio affected at this time by what's here and what's coming with these tariffs?
So I'll answer the first question, because that was one of our specific questions that the committee specified with the contractors. They all intimated that the goal would be, with an award, to order as much as possible ASAP. They know, like from a perspective of steel and things of that nature, that their contacts are not really providing more than 15 to 30 day out pricing locks, which is where we are with the global environment at the time, at this time. But everyone said where we are from a timeline perspective, if we can get going on that aspect of, you know, so if we agree today to award this contractor on Monday or when they start ordering and placing purchase orders and things of that nature on the raw materials, you're talking lumber for framing, you're talking steel, and then the HVAC units. Those are the major items that we would expect. Obviously, the labor contracting will be locked in with the contract. And as far as the school's portfolio goes,
Can I just follow up with the first question? Is there
sure.
a, sorry, is there a binding clause in the contract that that requires them to order the majority of the materials next week, for example, if they if the contract's signed and they have it?
So that's so there is not per se like a contract drawn outside of their proposal at this time. So that's where we're looking to award the contractor and enter those contract negotiations and get as much included in that as possible for a wedding signature. But we know that once they get a green light, that they'll start the wheels in motion on a lot of those processes.
My recommendation is to include a clause that requires them to order the, you know, the bulk of their materials before those price increases, sure to come, will set in.
Yeah, definitely. And not only will we heed that recommendation, the contractors all alluded to that's what they want to do as well, because you know their interest is our interest in some aspect, and they want to keep costs as low as possible. And not knowing what's in store with that, they said the faster you can get us ordering things, the we'll know for sure, and you won't have to worry about that risk
Right.
needing to
It
be mitigated.
you know, then it needs to be bound into it because, you know, I can say I will, maybe I will, but then I'll charge you in a year for the new price.
Yeah, for sure. We'll ensure that that's specified.
And the second part of the question regarding the school's portfolio to pay for this whole project, how has that been affected or will it be affected?
So, by the tariff specifically, or just in general, based on the bid?
Will the market in general are, you know, not based on the bid, no, based on our ability to pay the contract terms.
So there really is no impact on the school's finances for that specifically. So we have a capital fund from our bond refinance that we use to pay for the turf field, and a large portion of the Building 27 project is covered by that too, as well as some of the private grant funds that we've received already. So there really should be no impact with sort of the global economics at the moment of the ability to finance or move forward with the project.
Okay, so there are no risky investments of the funds that we have.
Correct, correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions before I request a vote?
I had one question. In looking at the cost breakdown between construction services and some of the other bits, I noticed, well, it's kind of a two-part question, that there is a substantially more costs associated with roofing of the first floor than there is of the second floor. So I'm curious how that is working. But also noticed that construction services bid in for roofing, for example, you know, combined was only about $29,000, whereas the other bids were upwards of 50, 70 to 125 grand. So kind of dovetailing off of George's question about ordering materials and not getting stuck with a surprise, where do we account for the difference in those bids? And are we, you know, is there a possibility for that to be drastically increased as the project or as the project continues?
So roofing was is kind of a dynamic aspect of the project, as obviously there's many penetrations right now in the building, but our experience and understanding is that majority of those penetrations are related to the HVAC units, because some of those have rusted through and were,
Currently, they all are.
yeah, they're exposed to the elements, for the most part. So, I believe the roof number provided was merely just a repair area that the cost to have curb adjustments and modifications was included in the HVAC number. Whereas other outfits had less, I guess, less confidence in the roof itself, suggesting the possibility of needing a new roof, although that's not necessarily included in this. But I think our goal is to move forward with starting with getting those HVACs either replaced or repaired, and having the patching around it taken care of, and then understanding from there what the needs are. So that was kind of that aspect of that. And I think there was not any included in the second floor because the bids included all the HVAC work in the first floor package. So the design includes that. The second floor HVAC aspects, I believe, is just ducting. And so specifically in construction services bid, they had a higher number in the plumbing aspect for the second floor because during the interview process, it was clarified that our goal as a school and as an organization and the owner of the project is that although it's broken into two phases, a first floor and a second floor, and we mostly did that for the ability to have classrooms available the start of the year, regardless of if the second floor is done or not. So it moved our design and engineering team along so they could focus on that aspect and then now focus on the second floor. However, that the funding and the intent for us as an org is that the entire building gets done all in one swoop. And so they understood then, okay, if we're awarded this contract, we can complete all the required plumbing for the second floor simultaneously as the first floor, and not need to do plumbing through a finished ceiling and things like that. So those costs are actually going to drop pretty dramatically from them gaining that information then that they didn't quite understand through the procurement process. So that even, helped us from a cost perspective with their specific bid, knowing that.
Gotcha. So just to kind of summarize for my own understanding, the first floor section of that cost breakdown is combination of physical work on the first floor, but also second floor work that is done during the first floor phase of work. And then, for example, on the roof, roofing repairs that could be attributed to HVAC damage is in the HVAC quote, as opposed to like, oh, we're just going to put everything that pertains to the roof in the roof quote.
That's
Right.
our understanding too, yes.
Okay. That makes sense. Cool. Thank you. Appreciate the
And Bridget, if
clarification.
there's anything in this that you think needs more clarification, feel free to jump in. But that was the conversation we had with the contractors.
I do want to clarify on the roof on 26 is the same as the roof on 27. It's the same age. And the roof on 26 is not leaking. So, and if there are leaks, we repair them as they come forth. But the majority of the leaks in 27 are coming through the HVAC and the curbs.
Any other discussion? All right, I just need a motion.
I do a motion to approve.
Second.
Joel seconds. Any discussion? Calling for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Making sure we have still quorum. Yep, everybody's still here. Anyone opposed? No, motion carries. Good luck for all of us.
For all of us, exactly.
Yes.
Only luck.
We will likely have them in the building on Monday, and we'll provide progress updates through the committee to the board on a monthly basis.
Okay. And as a final ending note, don't forget the field's opening this Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock right now. That may shift to 5:30 depending on.
Get here at 4:30 to
Yes.
allow yourself
That
some
will
time
be
to park.
I can be here. Okay.
There you
So
go.
Thank you all for attending a special meeting. Clearly, it was needed for a special cause so we can get this ordering done. Thanks again, everyone. Have a delightful weekend. I'm looking for a motion to close the meeting.
Close meeting.
Second? Need a second.
Second.
Thank you, Joel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carries unanimously. Meeting is closed at 3:57. 20 minutes.
257.
Sorry. I'm new with this whole round clock thing. All right. Take care, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.